May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I like to read, as we just did, about adults running, no doubt because I've been running several times a week since I was 29. Today's Bible passage from the Gospel of Mark does have many people from all the towns around the Sea of Galilee running on foot around the edge of the lake. Why were they doing this? Because many people, especially those who had been crowding around Jesus and the 12 apostles, recognised them sailing across the Sea of Galilee. Perhaps the boat that seems always to have been accessible to the team, Jesus' team, was distinctive, could be identified from the shore. But in any case, many people recognised them and ran around the edge of the lake. The runners actually managed to get to where Jesus and the 12 got off the boat ahead of them. Now, this was definitely not what Jesus had planned. His 12 apostles had just returned from being sent out two by two. They had been proclaiming that all should repent. They had cast out many demons. They had anointed with oil, olive oil that is, many who were sick, and cured them. What Jesus had planned was that he and the 12 should get away from the crowds to a quiet place by themselves and get a rest. To stop the crowds walking with them, they got on a boat and went by sea. So Jesus' plan for rest and recuperation in isolation from the crowds failed. The crowds that greeted his landing were not only from the crowd where he embarked on the boat, they had sent messengers to all the towns so that there was a crowd from those towns as well. Now, when Jesus and crowds are mentioned in the Gospels in the New Testament, or at least in the Gospel of Matthew, which I've been studying in the mornings, two things tend to happen. When there are crowds and Jesus together, either Jesus teaches the crowd or he heals people. Teaching and healing are highlighted. What happened on this occasion? Jesus had compassion on the huge crowd because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So what did he do? He began to teach them many things. Jesus was compassionate and he taught the people. Jesus had compassion on a crowd of rudderless people. The teaching that resulted from his compassion led eventually, after an awkward interchange with the 12, to Jesus feeding a crowd of 5,000 men with some women and children added on. When we were reading through Mark's Gospel soon after Ben arrived, I raised the question, why did the chief priests and the scribes keep looking for ways to kill Jesus? Not so much because he accused the sellers of doves and the money changers of turning the temple into a den of thieves, but because, why did they not like him? Because the whole crowd was spellbound by Jesus' teaching. The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders are alarmed that so many are listening to the teaching of Jesus. Who is Jesus? This Jesus is a teacher. In the Gospel of Mark that we studied earlier, 2016, emphasises Jesus' role as a teacher. Indeed, three of the four hostile parties in chapter 12 of Mark's Gospel address Jesus as teacher. When they come up to try and trap him, they call him teacher. And why does he teach them? Because they are like sheep without a shepherd. He indeed is the good shepherd portrayed behind me in the central panel. And we've just sung, "The Lord's my shepherd." There were many occasions reported in the Gospels when Jesus was revealed as compassionate. Early on, a leper came to Jesus, imploring him and kneeling before him. The leper said, "If you will, you can make me clean." Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched the leper and said to him, "I will, be clean. Indeed, the very act of touching the leper with his hand expressed the compassion. As another one of the reformers of the church, Calvin, saw centuries ago. When Jesus visited a town called Nain, a widow was burying her son, a widow. When the Lord saw her, he indeed had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." When he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still, Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." This woman had lost the financial support of both her husband and her son. She was destitute. The stress on the helplessness of the widow draws attention to the gracious compassion of Jesus Christ. On another occasion, two blind men were sitting by the roadside and heard from the crowd that Jesus was passing by. They cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." Jesus had compassion on them, we read, and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. And before the feeding of the 4,000, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have already been with me now for 3 days and have nothing left to eat." The Lord God had compassion on the children of Israel in that first passage that Kylie read to us from Exodus chapter 32. The Israelites had provoked Aaron into making a model of a calf with the gold earrings that the people possessed. But before Moses had descended from Mount Sinai, before he had broken the two tablets in pieces, he pleaded with God to have mercy on his people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. We read in verse 14 of Exodus chapter 32, "Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened." "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love," are words we hear from the prophet Joel. But in fact, these qualities of God go back to that chapter from which Carly read and God's proclamation to Moses. Isn't this what we sinners want? A God merciful and gracious. A God who will have mercy on us and who will treat us graciously. Then we hear that this God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. It's a strong love, and steadfast love is closely aligned with compassion, and the compassion of Jesus leads to action. Jesus' compassion leads to teaching those who are lost. His compassion even leads to feeding a crowd, and his compassion leads to healing. Let us pray that Christ our Shepherd will lead us. Almighty and ever-living God, you give us new strength from the compassion of Christ our Shepherd. May he lead us to join the saints in heaven, where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever.